Brother Johnny, I'm sure, that has brought us a special today. And while he's singing a special, if Naomi could look through her coffers. I left my box of music in Tucson. I left my tall socks in Tucson. I left my belt in Tucson. But I'm doing all I can to keep my pants up. And I think we'll be all right.
Oh, come on, give us a show.
Good morning, everyone. You know, there may be some of you here who have ailments and affliction that keep you from doing daily work and business as you want to. But I ask this morning that you take heart, that you listen to the testimony of these dear saints in this song. Not only will your heart be enlightened, but it'll be lifted. Listen to what they have to say. I saw a blind man tapping along. He was losing his way as he passed through the throng. I said, my friend, you cannot see, but with a smile on his face, he replied to me, I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful time we're all ever up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to share. And you won't see one blind man in Hallelujah Square. I saw a cripple dragging his feet. Now he couldn't walk like we do down the street. I said, my friend, I feel sorry for you. But he said, up in heaven, I'm gonna walk just like you. And I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. And what a wonderful time we're all ever there. We'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to share. And we won't be one cripple in Hallelujah Square. I saw a dear man gasping for breath. Now soon he'll be gone as his eyes close in death. He said, my friend, why you looking so blue? For I'm going up to heaven. Now how about you? I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. And what a wonderful time we'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to share. And we'll all live forever in Hallelujah Square. And now we'll sing and praise Jesus with glory to share. And we all live forever in Hallelujah Square. Hold on, dear saints. Hold on. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Okay, let's also keep in prayer. The Hannibals, the Hannibals family are expecting a newcomer. Yeah, we thought that this baby was going to be born on Alice's birthday, but Alice got a year older and the baby's not here yet. Alice's birthday was last February, yes?
My son just called me, his son. The baby's going to be born sometime this month, today or tomorrow.
Hey. Maybe they'll be twins with the Hannibal baby.
That's
going to
be my, I think, my 8 or my 9
great-grandkids. Great-grandkids.
Wow.
Hey, man. How many great-grandchildren do you and Rita have?
Eight.
Eight? I don't have any yet, thank God. But they are a blessing. Hey. Grandchildren are our reward while we're here on earth.
Open your Bibles this morning with me, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 13, which says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist.'" You'll remember Herod thought that. Herod, even the king of up there Galilee, thought he was. "Some Elias or Elijah," because the Bible said that Elijah was going to come back before the great and notable day of the Lord. "And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?'" Who do you say that I am? "Simon Peter's the spokesman for the group, and he answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that's what the name Peter means, Petros, rock, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Read the next verse. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." That does not apply to you. I want you to get that straight. Because later on he's going to say, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Today is the church's 45th anniversary. The 2nd of June was a Sunday 45 years ago. And it was on Sunday evening, the 2nd of June, 1968. There were a group of 15 people who gathered together with Brother Orville Tuck. His picture's out here on the wall. They met over in National City at the Knights of Python Hall at 10th and B, if you're familiar with that area in National City. And Brother Tuck, who was a church planter with these, he was counted among these 15, he and his wife, he brought a message from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. You'll recognize that as the Great Commission. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." And that was their first meeting. They continued to meet there for, that is June the 2nd, for a month. On July the 3rd, they came over to Chula Vista. I remember Brother Tuck visited me in my church office. I was pastor of the Castle Park Baptist Church down here on 3rd Avenue at the time. And he came up and visited with me. And I remember he said, "Brother Wetzel," he says, "we're going to start a church, another church here in Chula Vista." And he says, We're not going to be in competition with one another. He said, I want to make that clear. But he says, temporarily, we're going to be meeting right down here a half a block from your church. They were meeting at the Marion Hall, which was there on Kennedy Street. Kennedy runs east and west between Oxford and Palomar. And I says, fine, be glad to have you here in Chula Vista. By the way, that building that they were meeting in was torn down about 10 years ago in 2003. So they met there for about 7 months. And on January the 12th of 1969, just after the first of the year, Brother George Poole came out here from Odessa, Texas. Now that's where my wife and my family had moved out here from. It was in Odessa. I didn't know George in Odessa. But he and his wife Barbara and their kids moved out here. He was, his wife Barbara was Brother Tuck's daughter. And so George was his son-in-law. And he told George, he said, I've got the church organized, got it to going, but he says, I'd like for you to take it over and build a church here. He said, I want to go back to Missouri. And so he left here and went to Missouri. Brother Poole had moved here on October the 13th of 1968. And Brother Tuck went back to Missouri and stayed there until his death on October the 16th of 1986. Well, shortly after Brother Poole took the congregation, on March the 2nd of 1969, he moved the congregation up here. They had purchased this property where we're now sitting. But it was empty, vacant. They rented space on Sundays to meet over here at the Starlight Center, across the street from us. They've been our friends and neighbors ever since this church has been organized. And so they met over there for a little over 2 years while this area was being developed and this church, this auditorium, was built. The first service that they had in this building was on a Wednesday evening, July the 7th, 1971. There was a partition across the back, reaching almost over to the doors. And the classrooms were in these partitioned rooms in the back of this auditorium, making this auditorium as wide as it is now, but considerably shorter. But it held all the people, and everybody got along fine. At that first meeting, they had 41 people present on a Wednesday evening. That's pretty good. They sat in folding chairs because the pews had not been installed yet. On the 20th of June of 1976, boy, that's going back a while, Brother Poole asked me if I would come up here and hold a week's meeting. So I came up here and preached. First time I preached in this pulpit for one solid week. And we had a wonderful time. In fact, it was from that meeting that we began working together. We both had outside jobs. Brother Poole was the manager of what was then Sunset Builders Supply down in Mission Valley. It was a hardware and lumber store. And while he was working down there, I was also working at the county courthouse. So we both had outside jobs. But we worked together, and on January the 1st of 1978, we still had two churches, the one on 3rd Avenue and this one here. And like on a Sunday morning, I would be preaching here. And while I'm preaching here, he would be down at the church on 3rd Avenue preaching. And then that night, Zoom, he would be up here preaching, and I would be down there preaching. And we were shifting back and forth like that between the two congregations. And we would visit together and win souls together and just had a wonderful time pastoring both churches. Well, in August of 1979, after Brother Poole had been here for 10.5 years now, he received and accepted a call from the Grace Baptist Temple in San Antonio, Texas. The pastor who had been there for years and years was either moving or retiring, I've forgotten now which it was, and he had recommended to the congregation there that Brother Poole come down there and preach in view of a call to be their pastor. And he went and they called him. Now, his connection with that church, he had been in the Air Force. While he was in the Air Force, he was stationed there at an air base in San Antonio. While he was there, he and his family attended the Grace Baptist Temple. And it was while he was attending the services there that God called him to preach. And he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ at that church. Well, naturally, that church and congregation and pastor, it meant an awful lot to him. Well, he had left there and gone to Bible college and then finally made his way back out here. And so he prayed about this. We prayed about it for a long time with him. And finally, he decided that he would accept that church down there. So they lived about 2 blocks right down the street here. And he rented his house. They moved to San Antonio, where he pastored the Grace Baptist Temple. His wife, Barbara, had cancer, and it was not too long after they moved back to Texas that she passed away. And then just last year, Brother Poole went to be with the Lord. When he left here, or just about the time he left, we merged the two congregations. There's just going to be one of us here, and I couldn't jump back and forth from both of them. Let's just put the two congregations together and make one church. So the congregation here was ready to do that. So was the one on 3rd Avenue. And so we prayed about it and put one of the properties up for sale. As it turned out, the one on 3rd Avenue sold first. We had a buyer. The first Christian Reformed Church bought it on January the 14th, 1980. And the congregation of that church moved up here and turned that property over to the Christian Reform Group. We sold the property for $165,000. And we used that money when we came up here to build that our educational building out here. First thing we did. Then we refurbished this building here, made it look brand new again. And then we paid off the mortgage against the property so that everything was free and clear. Used God's money wisely. Our educational building out here was completed and occupied on June the 27th of 1981. And of course, that's the time when we took the partition out from the back and expanded this auditorium all the way to the back wall and held our Sunday school classes out in the new building. I figure that probably around 5,000 sermons have been preached from this pulpit. And that many lessons taught from the Bible during these past 45 years. Our records show that I think about 530 people have come down these aisles and joined this church. See, it's a good thing if they're not all here, we wouldn't have room for them. You'd have two or three sitting in your lap. A 179 of those were old raw bone sinners that heard the gospel message preached. God touched their hearts and saved them by His grace, and they were baptized in this baptistry. 179. And after 45 years, we're still doing what God called us to do. And we leave the results up to Him who does all things well. And we give Him the glory for it. As an aside, you can see on the bulletin today, I was surprised to see all of those dates on there. Some of them I'd even forgotten. But it was on June the 10th of 1960 that we moved from El Cajon over here to Chula Vista. El Cajon became our stopping off place when we came to California. I don't know if we could have taken Chula Vista coming right from Odessa, Texas. We had to have a little break in between. You know what El Cajon's like. You've been over there. So it took us a year to get acclimated to Southern California before we could take Chula Vista. But anyway, this year, we are completing 53 years of ministry here in Chula Vista. That sounds like a lot, but whenever you're standing in my shoes, it seems like yesterday. It was also on the 19th of June of 1950 that I surrendered to preach. So this month I will be completing 63 years in the ministry. I preached my first sermon on July the 5th, 1950, to the congregation of the Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. Also, it was on June the 24th, 1946, that my wife and I were married in Elton, Maryland. We'll celebrate our 67th wedding anniversary this month. When we started out, it was just the two of us. I don't know where our kids are. They're supposed to be here today, some of them. Our Susie had to go to a memorial service. Sandy and Paula were supposed to be here. I'll bet when we say grace and go out there, they'll be out there ready to eat. Anyway, we have 4 children, 11 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren. But today, on this very day, we celebrate the 45th anniversary of our church. None of the original charter members are with us. They finished their course. They ran their race. They've kept the faith. And they're retired into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if people in heaven know what's going on down here, I'm sure there are an awful lot of people up there today that are looking down upon this service, the 45th anniversary. I appreciate those of you who are perpetuating the work that Brother Tuck started 45 years ago here. Now, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and had him write some letters. And he addressed them to 7 churches in Asia. I don't have a letter for you today from the Lord. But he had some things to say about those churches of Asia that he had John write. And I don't know what he would say to our church today, but I have some things that I would like to say to you as a congregation. And I believe that God would be pleased with what I have to say. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to God and for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for keeping His work and His service first and foremost in your priorities. You are a blessing to me when I look out across this congregation from this pulpit on Sunday and see you. You could be doing something else like a lot of other people are doing. You could have gone to SeaWorld or Disneyland. You could have gone to visit relatives. You could be mowing the lawn, doing the yard work. But instead of that, you followed the leadership of God and came to worship the Lord at our services today. And I appreciate that. This church has been and is, and I pray to God it will be, always faithful to the Bible, to the Word of God, to the King James Version of the Bible. There's nothing else like it in the world. The power of God is the message of salvation. This book is the lamp unto our feet. It's the light unto our path that will lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness. This word is our daily bread that nourishes and sustains our souls. This book is our living water that will quench our thirst and cleanse us from our sins. It is our comfort in the time of sorrow and trouble. And it is the sword of the Spirit by which we defeat our enemies.
Amen.
I hear of so many churches that are discarding their hymn books. And they're changing versions of the Bible. And they're doing away with the choir. I don't like that mood. I don't like that swing.
That's right.
We need to stay with God's Word. Now, I'll tell you something else about this, and I've heard this from so many people, and particularly people who have come to visit our church for the first, second, and third times, and a lot of them keep coming back, and I appreciate that. But we love one another. And we care for one another. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. And that's the way that he does for us. Because we are one in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are his body. He is our head. And we support and strengthen and sustain one another. We not only worship together, but we pray together. Jesus said it, two of you shall agree on any one thing. It's good that we pray. And I believe in closet prayer. Don't misunderstand me. Because Jesus told us to pray in a closet, didn't he? You go in that closet, you shut the door, and you shut the world out. And it's just you and God in there. And you talk to him. But he also encourages us to pray together. He said, if two of you shall agree on any one thing, I'll do it. Prayer, two is unity. And if you can get three or four, you've got that much more power in your prayers. That's our line of communication with God. Did you know that? You can't get him on Twitter or Facebook or computer, iPhones, and all of those things. You can talk to a lot of people in a lot of places, but you can't talk to God. It takes direct contact. And something else. I want to always encourage you on this. We must practice the presence of God. It was God himself who suggested it. He said, where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he isn't here. Because he is here. He is present with us. All the time. Everywhere we may be. He goes with us wherever we go. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he's always there. Our church also remembers that there are many people in this world who are not as we are. That is, they have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they're not saved. And they're not being saved means they won't go to heaven when they die if they continue on in their unbelief. Therefore, it becomes incumbent upon us to share with them what we have and what we know. Jesus walked by and he said to Matthew, we saw this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. He said, Matthew, follow me. And he left all and followed Christ. Peter, Andrew, James, John, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They left all and they followed Christ. We know that God is long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God will save any soul, any time, day or night, that will come to him in faith, believing. And one thing we know as a church, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except by him. It's not by baptisms. It's not by church memberships. Not by good works or keeping the law. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Jesus. Now we show our concern for the lost by contributing and supporting missionaries who go into the uttermost parts of the world with the gospel of Christ. Every Wednesday night here, we have Betsy Burton, who reviews letters that our church receives from missionaries, and she reviews those and gives us a report of those missionaries as to what they're doing in their particular field of service. And then we have prayer for these particular missionaries. They go into all the world with the message that Jesus saves. The very night this church was organized, 45 years ago, before that meeting was adjourned, Brother Tuck got up and he says to the people, said, "All right, if we're going to be a Baptist church, we're going to be a missionary Baptist church." And there was a young fellow by the name of Laurel Woosley out of a church in San Francisco who had been led to the Lord and surrendered his life to Christ in that church that Brother Tuck had organized while he was in the service. He was a church planner even when he was in the service of his country. And he organized that church. And Brother Woosley, God called him to be a missionary. And he went to the Philippines and spent his life down there preaching Christ and him crucified to those people. And the Bible Baptist Church took him on for support 45 years ago today. They started out a missionary Baptist church. At the present time, our church is contributing to the ministry of, I don't know, around 38 different missionary families. Now you look around, that's almost a family for each member that we have. That's the only reason I'd like to have 10,000 members. But we don't. But we use what we have. Amen. We look at our past. We learn from our mistakes. We look at our present and we take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us every day. We look to the future and we know that Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. And his reward will be with him. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that he hasn't already come. Okay? I believe in the imminent return of Christ. And we may not celebrate a 46th anniversary. Jesus is coming. Meanwhile, we're kept by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. By that power, and with that power, we can pull down strongholds, the Bible says. We can subdue kingdoms. We can proclaim righteousness. And we have the promise of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, because it's founded on a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. What you and I cannot accomplish individually, we can accomplish collectively as a body working together. I look at this vacant pew down here, and I'm reminded that a couple of weeks ago, Brother John Sampson was sitting there beside of Rosalinda. John has now joined about 78, I believe it is, of our soldiers who have stacked their arms and gone into the presence of the Lord. God has called a lot of people out of our congregation into his presence. We honor them today and appreciate them and their ministry here. We've had a lot of folks that have moved away. In fact, we're losing a family, and we're celebrating their leaving today. Buddy and Alice came 21 years ago, I think it was, on a Wednesday night. And I don't know, we didn't have a song leader.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah. He just gave you the song.
What, was that the way it happened?
Brother Roger.
Yeah. Brother Roger? Boy, am I glad you came along, buddy. Anyway, he came up here and led our singing, and he's been doing it ever since. And in 63 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever been blessed by a family that has been more near and dear to us than the Barker family. I appreciate it. And I know that when they move from here, they'll be transferring to another unit to continue the battle on new fields. Having been here as long as he has, he considers himself qualified to reach those zonies over there in Tucson.
They're kind of dense.
Sad to say, we've had some people who have deserted the ranks and have become spiritual casualties in this war of righteousness. Even Paul had a companion at one time by the name of Demas. And he wrote and said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world." We've had some people who have come and visited with us and became partakers of the fruit of the gospel. But the world, the allurements of the world, have enticed them and drawn them away. They've become casualties. Let's resolve in our hearts today that we will keep our eyes on Jesus. Let us continue to depend upon his strength to work in us and through us to do his will and to accomplish his purpose. And one day soon, he will call us before himself and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll make you ruler." over many. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for each one that is present in this congregation today. We thank you for their testimony for Christ. We thank you for their love and respect for him, for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Father, as we give a brief invitation this morning, there may be someone here that would like to come and say, I believe in what the Bible Baptist Church is doing. I want to be a part of it. I want to become a member of this church. I want to contribute to its ministry. I want to have a part in the souls that are saved. I want to have a part in the missionaries that are sent out. I want to have a part in the fellowship of kindred spirits. So, Father, today, move upon the hearts of your people and speak to us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
337.
Sing a verse of invitation.
Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for your word, the Bible that you provided us. Thank you for your son that has died on the cross and given us opportunity to have everlasting life in your presence. Lord, we just ask you to bless this fellowship of the people together as we go out. Bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. Bless the hands that prepared it. Be with the Burtons as they travel and watch their youngest grandson graduate and start off into this world. We just ask that you be with him. Lord, we just ask that you be with the Hannibals and their new baby coming into the world. Be with each and every person. Give us a special blessing. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.